Welcome to My Father's House bonus episode 332, The Importance of Your Heart. Guest evangelist Colleen Doyle delivered this message on Saturday, August 26th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, church, you're not, you're family. I feel so family when I come here, and I can't even see you because of the lights, but I can see outlines, so forgive me if I look like I'm staring at you. But I want to say I thoroughly second the word from Lydia Marrow, my friend, who prophesied in that clip there. This is America's day. This is your day. It looks like a dark day, but what is dark in the eyes of man is light in the heart of God. And God has actually put his finger on this nation. It's a big finger because it's a big nation, but there's not one corner of this nation that is going to escape what God is going to do if people are willing to go with what he is saying to them. You and I are the key to what God wants to do in the land of the United States of America. And if we submit ourselves and humble ourselves to what he is saying to us individually, corporately, we are going to see the most amazing move of God in this nation. Do you amen that? Yes. You are going to see it, and you can be part of it. You can opt out by thinking it's all stupid, but you can be part of what God's doing. And as I was preparing to come here, the Lord told me, this house is a house of miracles. This is a house of miracles. He is going to pour out miracles here. I saw in the spirit people coming in here really sick and him touching them and then being healed. And Tonya's jumping up and down and shouting silently at the back. He is going to do it. He is going to do it. And he's probably said it to you before. It's our job to believe. It's our job to lay hands on the sick wherever you possibly can and believe that we do what Jesus said to do, and he will do what he said he will do, and the sick will be healed in Jesus' name. Your parking lot is going to be too small. Parking lot too small. Hallelujah. Amen, eh? Come on. So what time do we finish, pastors? Any time before 2 o'clock? Right. That's very cool. Thank you for that. All night. I've done all-nighters. I have to tell you. Whoa, the light up here. It could be a challenge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I thoroughly also agree with Pastor Israel. He talked about the heart. He said, I wrote a note. Don't always remember everything verbatim. He said, when Jesus appeared, the hearts of the disciples were set on fire. You know, when we're in the presence of Jesus, our hearts will be set on fire. And God is in the business of touching hearts. He's in the business of transforming hearts. He wants your heart to be totally whole. He wants us to realize the importance of the transformation of our hearts. And I'm going to teach tonight. I'm not going to preach at this meeting. I'm going to teach on the importance of our hearts being transformed. Who needs your heart transformed? Hallelujah. Some of us need heart transplants, not just transformation, right? And you are no different to all the people in all the places that I go. We need, because life deals our heart really a lot of damage, doesn't it? Life hurts our hearts. And I've got a story of so much hurt that God has healed me in my heart that it's an absolute miracle that I'm standing here today, whole, restored, resurrected in Jesus' name. And that is because God heals the brokenhearted. Wow, the light. I might push forward so I can actually get some more light on this. Would that be all right? I can't see. Whoa, sorry. Thank you. That's a little better. No, I need it. Oh, well, we'll work with it. We shall work with it. oh, no, it's okay, Pastor Harley. No. It's all right. So I have some notes, and feel free to take notes. And I have sat under some amazing ministries that minister in the area of the heart. And God has really done some things in me, and he's also taught me a lot that I can share with others. So tonight I'm going to share some of that with you. And, you know, let's just sit here in the presence of God. Let's sit here submitting to the Holy Spirit. And God is going to speak to us tonight. He's going to touch parts of our hearts because he's interested in your heart being transformed. Because one, he loves you. And you weren't born with a broken heart. You weren't born with a damaged heart. And that is his plan, that we come back to being in the condition that Jesus died that we could be in, like we were in the beginning. And so let's just look at your heart being the focus of God's attention. God focuses attention, his attention on your heart. And he observes it very carefully. If you've got your Bibles, you can open it in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here. And this is when Samuel came to find the new king. So 1 Samuel 16:6, so it was when they came, Samuel looked at Eliab, who was the oldest son of the household, and he said, "Surely the Lord has anointed this one." And in verse 7 it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And you see, we look at people and we see the outward appearance, but God sees deeper. He sees right into the heart. And Samuel had come to find this new king, and he wasn't looking at the heart. He saw this outward, and he was impressed by that. It fooled him. We get very clever at letting people see the outward, don't we? We get very clever at saying, "How are you?" "I'm fine." Liar, liar, liar. Many times. True? God wants to get to that place in our hearts so that we can actually let him know and let those we trust know, "I'm not fine, actually. And God is working, or God needs to work in my heart." So when God refused Eliab, it says in the Hebrew that he was despised. He was totally rejected. The word abhor comes into it, and considered reprobate. That was the level of God did not find that young man acceptable to be the new king in Israel. And the focus of God is our heart condition. He loves your hearts. He loves your hearts. His heart bled for your heart and every other part of you. But that is where the issues of life flow from. And so Jesus' focus was the heart also, and still is the heart. Page 2, here we go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lust for her has committed adultery with her in his heart." So this is just focusing on that one thing. But the seat of sin very many times starts in the heart. Somebody doesn't usually go and rob a store without dreaming it first. Somebody doesn't have an illicit relationship about going there in their heart or in their minds first. And so in the word, the focus of the law and religion was on behavior and on appearances, on the outward. And here, people may not commit physical sin, but if it's conceived in the heart, it will come in time. and it's conceived there. And wickedness is conceived in the heart. So the focus of Jesus' ministry, again, we're talking about heart transformation. Luke 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." This is where Jesus announced, "This is what I'm coming for, to heal the brokenhearted together with those other things." And it was a key, one of the keys of his assignment when he came on earth. And as we read the New Testament, you'll see the many brokenhearted people he came across. The woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, the blind people, the people that were demonized, the man at the pool of Siloam. Sure, their bodies were broken, but because of what they'd experienced with that brokenness of their bodies, their hearts were also broken too. And he touched them. Yes, he touched them. Amen? Yeah. And broken in this context means shattered to pieces, trodden down and crushed. And we find in today's world that painful and traumatic experiences do just that to people. They do just that. And some of you could be in that position where you've had traumatic and difficult and terrible experiences happen to you. And they're so deeply encased in your heart that there's a crust around it to keep it safe in there. But it's also a place of a prison. And God wants the prison doors to be open. Jesus came to fly the prison doors open so that you can be free and your heart can be transformed. I want to see that for every person. I know what it is to have a broken heart, and I know what it is to have a healed heart. And the transformation and the difference in that is just absolutely miraculous and amazing. So people that are wounded and shattered, they're deeply affected in how they engage with others. And you may know people that they just don't engage. They're just obnoxious. They're difficult. But if you can look past that obnoxiousness and the difficulties, and you can say, "God, I reckon their hearts have been broken and shattered and crushed and rejected. And there's some vehicle, and that might be you, when you sit under this teaching and you learn and you have your own heart healed, you might be the one that brings them out of that shattered, broken space so they can begin to learn to relate and be part of society in a way that they will be a blessing and they will be blessed. And people that have been wounded and shattered, they hide. Remember Adam and Eve? And God was walking through the garden and they were hiding. And he said, "Where are you, my son?" Looking for him, looking for his son. And they were hiding with fig leaves over them because something had happened. They caused it. But they were hiding because they were ashamed. And shame makes people hide. They can't face God. They can't face love. They can't face acceptance often. And they do have the same reaction as Adam and Eve. And often, people, if they become shattered as little children because they were not treated as little children should be treated, that is their norm. They are hidden. They hide. And that's their normal response to the world and to life. And God wants to open up and heal and transform their hearts so that which used to be the normal would be something in the past and their future is so much better. And so we see right through Jesus' ministry that he engaged in healing broken hearts over and over and over again as he healed their bodies. So why is your heart so important? Because it is the seat of your identity. It's the seat of your identity. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Have you ever heard anyone say, oh, I'm an idiot? Yeah? Golly, I'm stupid. Do they act like an idiot? Quite often. Do they act stupid? Yes, quite often. I'm so dumb. Do they act dumb? Do they appear dumb? Yep. Because as they think in their heart, so they are. And when that heart is transformed and healed and changed, that changes. It's absolutely incredible and wonderful and amazing. Any of you on that page? You don't need to answer. But heart also is where your values are, where your desires, where your desires are, where your passions are, where your beliefs are, where your dreams are, and where your fears are held. So much is held in our hearts. And when we see that scripture that says, as he thinks in his heart, the Hebrew means as you reason in your heart, as you act, the heart acts as a gatekeeper, and as you calculate in your heart. And so the way that we see ourselves will determine how we act and how we relate to others and how we relate to life in general. So if somebody harbors an offense in their hearts and sees themselves as a victim, victimhood will be their identity. Have you ever come across anyone like that? But, they say, but, this happened to me. Yeah, it did. But it doesn't need to continue happening because that is who you identify as. God can heal and wants to transform hearts that have been victims. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And these people blame others for the conditions that they're in and the circumstances and always seek someone to rescue them. But living a powerful life, it begins with really realizing who we are. Who are you? Some people would say, I don't know. Some people would say, I want to be so-and-so or like so-and-so or I want to be this type of character, but have no clue how to get there. God wants to transform your heart so that who are you can be answered. Me, I am a child of God. Who am I? Not as skinny as I should be, but not as fat as I could be, and I'm fine with myself. Who am I? I'm a lover. I'm a communicator. I'm one that carries the presence of God. That's who I am. And that's who God wants you to be. Not the fat and skinny, but all the rest. Oh, yeah. And you know, the condition of our hearts actually determine the limitations or the extension of our lives. Pastor Harley said, I travel to many nations. I do. I've slept in mud huts in Africa and 5-star hotels as well in different places. I've ministered to people with loincloths only on and ladies with bare tops. I've ministered in underground churches that are underground because it's not safe to be above ground. I've ministered to 15,000 people at a time. None of that is as important to me as my heart being whole and being able to carry and give away the love of God. None of that. Because it's about how whole are we, and as whole as we are, we can give that away. Had I stayed in that damaged state, probably wouldn't be going to Vietnam in November and taking 12 people with me to minister in a interesting place, and I can't really talk about that. Yeah, this is being lived, isn't it? So, I nearly slipped. Whoops. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And Proverbs 4:23 as well says, and above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Don't you love that? Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Oh, I love that. For from there flows the wellspring of life. That's another different version. We pay attention to our clothing, our hair, and our nails. And we go on diets, and some people succeed and others don't. And we pay attention to putting our car through the car wash. And we pay attention to lots of things. We mow the grass and do the housework, even if we don't like doing housework. And we pay attention to so many externals. But the Word of God says, pay attention to the inner parts of your life, of your heart. Because from that, life flows. And the Word says to do it diligently, to guard your heart condition. And to keep it, Hebrew means to watch over it, to preserve it from danger. And scripture before about adultery, you know, that is one thing that can start in the heart. But other sins that will lead you down an awful path begin in there too. You might go to the slot machines and find after spending a whole week's wages, you can't stop. You might have a couple of glasses of wine or a whiskey and find after that, you can't stop. We have to look after the internal parts of our heart. We have to look after, and the Bible tells us that. And the issues of life are the outgoings of our lives, the borders and the boundaries of our life. And how we express our life and how we engage in life and relationships are determined by how our heart is made whole. How our heart is made whole. And the limitations and restrictions that we have, they are deeply impacting on our world around us and how we can live in it successfully. So, the next thing. Our hearts are the center for loving God and engaging with God. And I presume because you're here, you want to do that. Yeah. I presume that you're Christians and you want to do that. And I have found as my heart has progressively been healed, I've been able to have a deeper engagement with God and a more of a sense of being able to love Him. His love for me and for you never changes, no matter if we're the most broken thing on the earth. But our ability to respond to that is determined by how much our hearts have been transformed. You know, this is very, very real. Mark 12 verse 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, as the first commandment. And as we do that, it means giving Him priority, first priority. First priority of our affections and our desires. First priority of every part of our life. But when it's wounded or we harbor sin, not just make a mistake, but harbor it like a boat tied up, and that's where it stays and it doesn't move. That area of our life is separated from God. He wants to come and fix that. And when Jesus walked the earth, He rebuked the Pharisees for drawing near with their lips, but their hearts being far away from Him. And so God is really, really interested in our hearts. It's the center of our faith and our trust in God. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And it means be intimate with Him. and he will direct your paths. And Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Where we trust, where we communicate, and where we're vulnerable with God and with others. And intimate and trusting relationships start with this heart thing. If you won't do it, you will long for close relationships all your life, and they will never happen to the degree that you could have if you will not allow God to transform and change your heart. So God wants to place his love in there and his desires to fill our hearts. I don't know about you, but I've read the word for years. And in earlier days, I used to think, oh gosh, God, I wish I could do that for you. I wish I could be like that for you. But my heart was limited. I was limited because of the brokenness. And as I have continued to allow him to touch me and cry my eyes out before him and bawl and scream at times and allow him to identify the pain and the brokenness and heal me, some of those things I wished I could do and be for him happen and begin to evolve because the limitations are taken off. Ephesians chapter 3:17, if some of you have just studied Ephesians, you will have covered this. And it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And this allows us to surrender to him. Because not all of our life is easy. We have to surrender. We have to surrender our will. We have to surrender our way of doing things often. But then in surrendering that, because we are trusting God, brings such joy and peace and a better result often than if we hung on to our own way. Amen? Someone knows about that. And see, God wants us to experience the greatest of his love in the core of our being. And he wants us to be rooted and grounded. Has anyone ever pulled up a plant with a big, deep root? And you pull and you pull and you pull. And finally you pull it and you get the last bit and you fall over backwards. Have you ever done that? I have. But, you know, he wants the rooting and the grounding to be that, stronger and deeper than that. But that it cannot be uprooted just by ordinary circumstances. He wants us to be so deeply embedded with him that is where the love of God stays. Yes? Amen. Right, next heading. Our hearts determine what flows out of our lives. Oh my goodness. Pastor Sarah mentioned I've moved into a new community. I've moved into, you'll love this, a retirement village. I'm calling it a refirement resort. Refirement resort. It's got every facility you could ever want. And I tell you, I was there 5 days before I got on the plane to come here. This has been the most miraculous story. In those 5 days, I had the handyman come in to fix something. He was in my house 3 minutes before he started crying, telling me about his broken marriage. How about that? Can you believe it? And somebody said to me, oh, you've got such an open door here. And I'd said to the Lord the day before, God, I want my place to be known as an open door, that people can come in and just experience you. The lady across the road, who happens to be called Colleen as well, she poured out her bitterness to me in about 3 minutes in the first visit as I was unpacking things in my garage, and she started at the door, and as I was unpacking, she progressed into the garage so she could be closer and closer to me to tell me about all the awful things about her life. And then another lady along the road did the same thing, and I'm going, God, that's really fast. Did I sign up for this? And the answer came from heaven, yes, you did. Open door. And I tell you what, next time I come, I'll tell you better stories because they will have had a bit longer to develop. But God's going to save people in that place. And there's going to be miraculous healings and deliverances and hearts healed. And the management are going to wonder what hit them. What hit them? The Holy Ghost. Amen. Your heart determines what flows out of it. And these people, you know, their hearts just overflowed. And I saw what came out of them. And it makes me sad for them, but so glad that I'm there. Yeah? Matthew 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. So treasures consist of things that we place value on and we seek after. Saw a program on TV, I think just after I arrived here, where they were digging for gold. Man, they went to a lot of trouble to find a few grams of gold. Goodness gracious, but that was treasure. They went after it. You know, treasure. God talks about treasure. And so whatever treasures that our hearts are after, are good and bad, they are going to flow out of our lives. I hope those ladies aren't leaving because they're sad. Do come back. Do come back. And so you probably have all experienced that as well. Just people who cannot speak anything nice, who blaspheme and swear and curse and are nasty all the time. Out of their hearts flow those things. And if you find yourself speaking unkindly or being mean, it's a good time to go, God, deal with my heart. It's not just the words. Deal with my heart. That's a good bit of advice. When I was married, I learnt that really easily. No, I learnt it well. I didn't learn it easily. That was the wrong word. Okay, your heart is the place where sin's conceived. Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. Acts 5:4. While it remained, it was not your own, and after it was sold, it was not in your control. So why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Have you not lied to men, but to God? And so this was Ananias and Sapphira, and they said that they had done something, and it was untrue. And they thought they were just telling a lie to the people, but they actually lied to God. They conceived that thing in their heart. And see, most of us consider sin as an outward thing, and it is. It has an outward manifestation, but it's actually an outward manifestation of our heart needing to be transformed for a new purity and a new honesty to come. And God sees the sin in our hearts and the expressions of our overflowing behaviours. He's not going to love us any less, but he's going to draw us to a place where we realise what's going on and we say, God, heal my heart, change my heart, transform my heart, because I need it so that those things will not happen any longer. And when that sin is conceived in our heart, it births and it finds a way out. It finds a way out, no matter how clever we might be at not being unkind with our words or being critical or gossiping or lying or slandering. If it's in there, no one is clever enough to keep it in there and hide it for all time. It's going to escape, I promise. It's like water. It will find the lowest point and it will actually escape. And then, you know, embarrassment, big embarrassment. But as we realize that, God, transform my heart. I need my heart changed because there's an issue of life that is not good and I want changed. And you know what? Change your heart, change your life. Six very simple words that are true that will happen. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So the life, the heart's the place from which the life of the Spirit flows. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Some versions say out of your belly, and belly and heart are intersected. They're used in the same and different contexts in different scriptures. But out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Who does not want rivers of living water flowing out of your heart? Not one hand up. If it is, I invite you to be saved. We do, don't we? We want living water to flow out of us. We want our lives to overflow on people and for them to be blessed and touched and healed and saved and delivered and their lives to be better and a greater knowledge of Jesus just because we're around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't we? Yeah. Yeah, that was a big, small amen. And so as we yield our hearts and allow God to transform them, and it can be a process. It doesn't happen in a moment. But the first step is being willing. The first step is saying, God, you know, transform my heart. I realize the great importance of it. I realize that out of it flows my life issues. I realize out of my heart, or my heart determines the limitations of my life, what I can do and how I can serve you and how I can minister. The limitations of my heart determine the relationships that I'm going to be able to have and nurture and enjoy and be mutually beneficial with others. So our heart is where the word of God is sown to produce fruit. Matthew 13:18 says, hear the parable of the sower. And verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And it is he who receives seed that went by the wayside. And so in this parable, Jesus explains how we bring forth fruit in our lives as believers, that this word is sown in our hearts. Yes, it goes into our minds and we understand it some of the time. It touches our souls. It gives us the sense of emotion and understanding. But it lodges in our hearts. And that is where the seed grows. The word of God sown in there, in a heart. And the condition of our heart and the response to the word of God determines the fruit that we will bear. You might hear the word of God and it goes in your heart and you just think, oh, that's rubbish. That's not for me. There will be no fruit. But if we receive it and allow prayer and worship and loving God to grow that seed that's in our heart, there's nothing that can stop it growing and fruit to be produced, good fruit for the kingdom from that. And conversely, you know, your heart can be stony, it can be hard. It can be so incredibly damaged and broken that very little can lodge there. And this is where heart transformation is so absolutely incredible, where God can just transform our broken hearts. Because when people have a heart broken and damaged and crushed and abused and rejected and all of that awful stuff that happens to people, we put a little wall around it. It's really safe. But it's a safe prison. It's a safe prison where you can reside, you can survive, but you can't flourish in that place. And the seed of the word of God will probably bear very little fruit. Heart transformation is the answer, and God wants to do that for all of us. Amen. So here are some different kinds of hearts described in the Bible. Different kinds. One, a broken heart. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Has anybody experienced that? Look at us. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it absolutely wonderful?
Glory
is right. A fearful or anxious heart. Isaiah 35 verse 4 says, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And some of these versions are a translation called The Passion. Has anybody read The Passion? It's really beautiful and it's really lovely poetic language. So another type of heart is an angry heart. Who's seen somebody with that? Oh my goodness, I've had flatmates before I moved to this place for 6 years, and they change from time to time just because of their circumstances. And this last man that I had, he was so angry, such an angry, angry man. And he didn't manifest it when I first interviewed him. I didn't have the discernment to actually see what he was really like. But when he blasphemed on the second day and I asked him not to, I saw this anger. And I was never in danger, but I saw what an angry, angry man he was. Man, an angry heart. And I've never lived with an angry person until then. Whoa, what absolute torment that man lived in. He did leave quickly, I have to say. Thank you, Lord. An angry heart. Proverbs 19 verse 3. "When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord." A bitter heart. Proverbs 14:10. "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." Who has come across somebody bitter? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Hey, Christians too, my friends. Oh dear, what a devastating thing for somebody just to spew bitterness out of their mouth over and over again. It's like poison. And there's a scripture that says a bitter root defiles many. And many relationships break because of bitterness. But you know, if somebody's really bitter, it can also or often defiles different parts of their lives, and they can get really ill because it's just a poison, you know. Don't ever let your heart get bitter. Even if you forgive through gritted teeth, don't get bitter. My husband left me after 40 years of marriage to live with a man. And the thing I determined on that day when that happened was, I will not be bitter. And I had, in a worldly sense, every reason to be unforgiving and judgmental and angry and bitter. I would not let it happen. And sometimes I felt like I was biting my tongue so hard not to allow bitter words to come out of my mouth that there was blood. There wasn't, but it just felt like through gritted teeth, I will not. And part of the reason that I am where I am today, 14 years later, is because of that decision and following it through. You cannot let your heart get bitter. And on my gravestone there will be, "She got better, not bitter." Trust me. That'll be when I'm 124 and a half. Yeah. Amen. Yes. So another type of heart, a stony heart. Mark 8:17. "But Jesus, being aware, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened?'" And so the hard heart or stony heart, same, same. Ezekiel 36:26, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Oh, soft as opposed to hard. That's not difficult to understand, is it? A numb or a disconnected heart is a great reality. 2 Samuel 13, verse 20. Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So this Tamar, she had a numb and disconnected heart. She was abused. And you know, Pastor Sarah probably knows because she deals with young children, and anyone that's had any counselling or experience and you're dealing with children that have been abused, they are numb. They are disconnected. People are unable to connect with God, largely with relationships, with their feelings when abuse has happened. And it's a very real state of heart that God wants to heal, change and transform. Is that correct, Sarah? Just numb and disconnected. Yeah. A sorrowful heart. Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but with sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. Been there? Done that? Out of it. Amen. A tender heart. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Tender-hearted. And that's easy when you know you're loved. But when you know you're not loved, tender-heartedness does not come so easy, does it? It's a more difficult thing. And another type of heart, a heart after God. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. A heart after God. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. It's not a one-off thing. It's a growing thing. And as you know, as you see the face of God, or as you enter into his presence, his drawing and his beauty is so much that you want to do it again and go deeper, and you want to do it again and go deeper. And that's where a heart after God is such a beautiful and ongoing blessing to you. And God wants us in that place where we want him. Yes. He wants us, and he wants us to be whole. You know, when Jesus died, that we have life in abundance. It's not just being able to ride roller coasters or to hang glide or to enjoy traveling or good food. It's to have a heart of abundance of life and love flowing out of it and into it and to other people. That is very much of the abundant life that Jesus died for you and for me. I want it. I want more. I'm one of these greedy people. I want everything and more. All of it. Yes. So the focus of God's attention is your heart.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.